So this year we've been going through a sermon series in the book of Mark, and we're going to continue that this morning. And so I will be reading chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And still others, like seeds sown among the thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires of other things come in and choke out the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." So Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the things that you've placed on Matt's heart this week, the way he has studied your word prayerfully and meditate upon it. And so, Lord, I pray that we would all have good soil in our hearts, that the word that he teaches that you have given him would produce much crop in us, that we would grow here today, but we would also be able to go out and share that good news with others. So, Lord, I just pray blessing over Matt as he gives your word. And I pray blessing over this body of believers as we receive it. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, hello. My name is Matt, and I love my job. I get to lead the worship team and lead the youth team. Been on staff here for 7 years, almost eight. I'm getting old. So like Judd said, we're in a year-long sermon series in Mark. In this particular section, I don't know if you guys have noticed with the pictures. Can you put up the imagery that Jenny works on? Sorry, I threw a curveball at you right off the bat. No, the picture, sorry. Nah, that's on me. Yeah, have you noticed? These started all blank, but Jenny keeps adding the pictures from the sections that we're doing. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but it's really cool, so you should keep your eye out for it. But this, so we're in a new section of this, and it's called Pictures and Power, and it's because we're starting to get into where Jesus teaches using pictures. He's telling parables, like we read this morning, and then we're going to get into some displays of Jesus' power. And so I have an application step for you off the start, and I have in my notes, grab the Mark reading plan, and I don't have one with me up here, but there is a Mark reading plan It's a bookmark, and I actually checked just this. I think there's only three left, so you may need to hustle. But you can grab one at the info booth, and if you're not one of the three fastest people in our church, it's also online. So if you go on our website and go under sermon, you can find the Mark reading plan, and so that would be my first application step for you. Raise your hand if you're going to do that. One or two. Okay. No lying in church. I didn't think that's entrapment, but we're going for it. All right. So there's a lot of takeaways from this passage. It's one of the most famous parables. Actually, I would raise your hand again. If you have heard somebody teach on this passage or if you have read it yourself, if every single one of you would have raised your hands, I would have just invited the worship team back up, but now you know for next time. This parable has, there's a lot in here, but it's kind of twofold. And so we have Jesus, who is the farmer, and he sows the seed of his word, which is the good news of the kingdom, and we are the soil, and our hearts are the soil. There's four different kinds of soil that's receiving the word, and we're going to spend most of our time there. The second part is how Jesus is the model farmer. So it's instructions for his disciples, like this is how you sow seed, generously. He's not selecting like who might receive the word the best. Everybody gets the seed of his word. And I'm going to let Jed teach on that next week because I don't have time. But I actually want to start in the middle of this passage. So Aubrey talked about last week how there's Mark sandwiches. So the way Mark writes and the way Jesus teaches is sometimes he'll tell like the top slice of bread is like in this passage where Jesus just tells the crowd the parable, and then there's in the middle, there's something different, but it describes like the rest of what's going on. So we see Jesus starting with the crowd, and then it goes immediately like fast forward to when he's alone with his disciples and a small group of others, and that's where we get verses 10 through 13. We're gonna start here because it's the meat of the sandwich, and I eat the meat first, just real life. I have a whole theory about stomach equity. It's the same reason I don't eat the crust on pizza. So you only have so much room. You have to save it for like the best part. Anyway. I also don't think that a peanut butter and jelly sandwich is a sandwich. I think it's a pastry. I think if you put a hole in the middle, it would be a donut. I don't know why I have a microphone this morning. let's get to the Bible, please. Verses 10 through 13. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom has been given to you. Is there any other secret that you would rather know this morning? But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." We'll actually stop on that one, CODIS, sorry. We're getting into why parables. This is the first parable of the book of Mark, and it's the only one that we get to hear Jesus' explanation, and so he explains the reason he teaches in parables in general. So why parables? And his explanation sounds harsh. It's so that there would be insiders and outsiders, and so that some would hear and not get it, some would see and not understand. And I just, as studying this, it made me uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with that, and I really sat with it. I don't like the idea of there being inside and outside. I want everybody to be on the inside. And he's quoting right now, Jesus is quoting Isaiah 6. And so in the context of Isaiah chapter 6, it's a prophetic message to the people of Israel, and that chapter starts with, "In the year that King Uzzah died." And King Uzzah was mostly a good king until the end, and what he represented and what represented for the people of God at that time was that they were neglecting the word of God and that they had lost reverence for the presence of God. And so what happens when we neglect the word of God and the presence of God is that our hearts become callous. So the beginning of the quote that he says where they may be seeing, ever seeing but never perceiving, the ever hearing but never understanding, the beginning of that quote is, may their hearts be callous. And it's because of neglecting the word of God and losing reverence for the presence of God that these people's hearts were hard. And so it's not so much that God is trying to confuse people and make people on the outside, but we've heard Andrew talk about this before, but so the commentary said it was of their own will that they refused to listen. We've heard Andrew talk about how we try to do things our own way. God's asking us to do something one way. We try so hard to do it our own way. Eventually, God just gives us over to our own, and we get the consequences of what we wanted without him. And that's what was happening here. And so it's why Jesus is speaking in parables. I was talking about this with Tony, actually. And it's a way that Jesus like sifts our hearts. It's like, do you really want this or not? Like Tony was like, it's like you really have to want it. You really have to press in if you want to get what Jesus is offering to everybody. One of the main commentaries I studied this week was a guy named Michael Card. If you have that verse, it says, if we do not engage, we will not get it. The parables demand interaction. By their very nature, they reveal the character of the person who listens or doesn't listen to them. So Jesus is telling us these parables, and it's sifting out, like, who really actually wants this? Who wants to be wanted? And I, again, just feeling like I resonate. Remember the three kinds of soil where it doesn't work, the seed doesn't take. I just resonate with some of those. And so I just was like feeling like, God, I deserve an explanation, right? Like everybody deserves forgiveness. And I just felt like as I was praying about it, like a father, and he's told me this before, and I've maybe even shared this before, but again, reminded me, just the gentle, loving whisper, I don't owe you anything. And I don't know, that's a very harsh thing. Good morning, welcome to church. God doesn't owe you anything, but he's given us everything. It is there. He shares the seed of the word of God with everybody, and he doesn't owe us an explanation, but he's given it to us. So I think that's what's happening this morning is he's sifting us. So I have another early application step, and it's my plug for communities that are launching in the fall. So starting in September, we're gathering some communities. And in this passage, it's not like the crowd didn't get the parable, but the disciples understood it. The disciples didn't get the parable until they got alone with Jesus in a small group and with others. They drew closer than the rest of the crowd. And this is where Jesus shares the secret of the kingdom. Like the message was for everybody, and even the disciples didn't get it. But they got in a smaller group, they got alone with Jesus, and he starts to reveal the secret of the kingdom. And that's a lot of my stuff. I mean, I grew up in church, I grew up in the crowd, I was hearing the message all the time, I was starting to read the Bible, I was on the outside wanting to, like, doing my best. But what shifted for me was when I got plugged into youth group as a student, and I felt like I was getting more explanation. The word started making more sense to me, and then I was equipped to go home and read it for myself. And that's such a big deal that, I mean, you weren't meant to do this by yourself. The secret of God is revealed in community. His word is revealed. We have to do this with each other. So if you haven't signed up, please do. I think it's vital for us. So right now, the Holy Spirit is here. The word is being shared. And he's sifting, sowing. And it is currently landing on four types of hearts, which is what the soils are. But I want to start with what's the seed that's being planted. And so verse 14, if you're trying to memorize a Bible verse from this morning, I'd recommend this one. The farmer sows the word. In this, the farmer is Jesus. Right? The first, when he shares it with the crowd, it's the farmer sows the seed. Now it's the farmer sows the word. In this, the Greek word for word is logos, which is one of two Greek words that I know, and the other is euro, I almost said it wrong. It's not gyro, it's euro. So the other Greek word I know, logos, it means the word, which is why it's translated word. But it has three different symbolic uses. And the first one is it's the special revelation of God. So we look around and we see creation and we start to understand there must be a creator. There's somebody behind all of this. Or we now have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can talk to us. Everybody in this room is able to hear from the Lord. And I don't necessarily mean audibly, but if that happens, cool. But you have the ability to hear from the Lord from yourself. So the farmer sows the word, the special revelation of God. The second one is that it's the word of God, like the Bible. He sows the Bible. He has given this to us as a gift. And the amount of times that I've been sitting in a sermon and the pastor's application is, go home and read your Bible, is like nearly every time. And so it's really easy to overlook. And every time I talk to our youth group, I feel like my application steps are one of, if not all of these three things. It's get in the word, pray, like invest in your small group. And I feel like every week I'm saying the exact same thing, and it's because it's that important. And so this is actually my Bible that I was given. The date's in here. Freshman year of high school, given to me by my mom. I filled this out. 10/15/2008, on the occasion of, I wrote awesomeness, which was a much cooler thing to say back in 2008. And I didn't really get it. This is a study Bible, so it helps explain. I really liked that. But this book just laid open, so my bed was not like up on a bed frame. It was just a mattress on the floor. And so this just like sat off the end of the bed. So before I'd fall asleep at night, not every night, but more often than not, I'm just kind of leaning over the edge, and I'm just kind of, we call it Bible roulette, where you just open up to something random and you're just reading. And I didn't know what I was doing or where I should start or anything. I just kind of read because that's what you're supposed to do. And I was pretty trigger happy with the highlighter. I'm rediscovering. It's like Colossians and Philippians are like 80% highlight. It's hard on the eyes, but I just, like, it felt like nothing in the moment, but I'm learning that this word is just in me. Like, I don't know that I've read all of it, honestly. There's probably some minor prophets that I've missed and parts of Leviticus that I skimmed over, but there's just ways that, because of that, it's just in me. And, I don't remember what I had for breakfast last week, but I know that it filled me and nourished me, and that's what the word of God is like. And then we have the third one. The word is Jesus. The logos is Jesus. If we look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Codis, did I throw that one in there? So I always call people out on accident. I don't mean to. You're doing a great job. Thank you. The word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, the word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And then Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. This is, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Jesus is the living word of God. I heard a pastor say one time that Jesus is the language of the Father. And he's spoken many times through prophets in many ways, but Jesus is the word of God. It's the expression of who God is and everything he has to say. And this is the secret of the kingdom. It is the word of God given to the soil of our hearts. The special revelation of God, the Word of God, Jesus himself, planted in the soil of our hearts. It was the secret of the kingdom. So let's, if that's what the seed is in this parable, we're going to move on to the soil. And I want you to, as we're talking about the types of soil, I want you to just listen, pay attention. Is there one that resonates with, like, ooh, this might be my heart this morning? Or celibate. Maybe it's a good, maybe your heart's good soil. That's a possibility. I didn't consider that before right now, but. So we're going to start with the path. Mark 4, verse 15. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So the path is hard. The soil of somebody's heart is hard. In the context we were talking about earlier, continued disobedience or disregarding God's word and neglecting his presence leads to a hardness of heart. And when the word is shared, it just bounces right off and you can't really accept it. And this is not like for the worst of the worst. I just, like, there are days where this is me. Like, this is not like somebody's permanent state of the heart. All four of these are things that we can all experience at different times. And that can be very true of me. When I open up the word and just nothing sticks and nothing catches. And I think it's, so that's one of the reasons it can be hard. There's another reason, as I was studying, that I felt like I was supposed to mention. Some people have hard hearts because you've been walked all over and you've been trampled. And to protect yourself, your heart got really hard. And so I don't know if that's you this morning. I'm really sorry if it is. But I think if you're willing to forgive and let the Lord in, it can be soft again. And the other thing that stood out to me about the path is this is actually the only one that Satan's involved in. It has anything to do with the state of our heart. And Satan had nothing to do with the hardness of the soil, right? It just says that Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown when it wasn't received. So that's the only thing Satan has to do with this. The next kind of soil, and you can just leave these up on the screen too. It's the shallow one with some rocks, Mark 4, 16 through 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And this one, it's not just like the shallow soil. It's not just whether you're like a deep person or not. I experience this when more of my effort and energy is going to what's above the surface than it is what's going on below the surface. If it's about what's showing, but I'm not growing my roots deeper, then I get withered. When things get hard and I'm searching for something, my roots are not deep enough to get the water that I need to keep going with the picture. But this one also reminds me of, being a youth pastor, I get to lead a lot of youth trips, and it is a lot of fun. It's amazing. There have been times where I've been in a room with thousands of kids, and they worship the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind. They're all in, and they have this, like, the mission trip high. If you just came back from Abaco, you might really resonate with what I'm talking about. And if the attention, the energy doesn't go to growing our roots deeper in him, then when it gets hard, or when you come back from the conference, when you come back from the mission trip where you really had it going on, then we can get withered by persecution or just by the environment that we're entering back into. And then the last one that I probably spend the most time on is the thorns. So Mark 4, 18 through 19, it says, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And this is what I, like, when I'm not bearing fruit, that is me. And I'm assuming I'm not the only one. So this is actually the only one of the four soils where the issue is self-generated. So the path is walked on, the shallow soil has rocks in it, and it just can't go that deep. But this one, if you think about the soil of your heart, the heart is where your desires come from. So what's naturally coming up from the soil is choking out the word of God. Like Jesus is in there somewhere, but it's crowded. So I'm going to go through the things it says chokes it out. Starts with the worries of this life. I probably don't need to describe to you what the worries of your life might be right now, and it's different for all of us. Deceitfulness of wealth. I thought this was interesting. It's not wealth. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. So it's if you're lower middle class like I am, it's not like, those rich people, the deceitfulness. No, it's the deceitfulness. It's not because of money. It's the thought that if I have enough money, then fill in the blank. I have that stability. I have the security. I'll have the joy. And we can pursue wealth, however wealth is defined for you, with a similar or stronger devotion than we do Jesus and his kingdom. Wealth is not a bad thing. There are things in this life that need our attention, but it's crowded. Then the last one is desire for other things. The thing that stood out to me here is it's not a desire for sin. It's just the desire for other things. We want Jesus and we want other things. This is where I put my foot in my mouth. I want Jesus, and I want to have for myself a rich prayer life, and I want to know his word better. I also want to golf every chance I get. I'm terrible at it, but I want other things. I want Jesus, but I would like my drinking buddies too. I'm not saying like cut them. What are the other things? Maybe it's entertainment. Like I have this show that I want to be a person of the word. I want to receive him, but I got this show that I'm really trying to keep up with and I don't have time to spend time with the Lord or open up the word. This one I don't want to say, but I think I'm supposed to. Maybe it's our kids. We don't want our kids to miss out. And please hear me. I do not say this in judgment. I think every kid should at least try baseball or softball. It's just the right thing to do. It's the American thing to do. And I'm disgusted, not at our kids, but at the parents of our kids who, when we play kickball at youth group, they don't know the rules. It's just straight up un-American. We got to be better. You know, God's a baseball fan. I don't know if you knew this. Genesis 1-1 in the big inning. I heard that joke on Little House on the Prairie when I was 11, and it changed my life. So Matt, remember this. Matt is pro baseball. But there's a reason my parents were always relieved when baseball season was over. You know, if you have, I don't yet. I hope to. But if you're a parent of a little leaguer or four, or have kids playing travel ball or school ball, you know how much it fills your life. It's a good thing. It's not desire for sinful things. It's a desire for other things. And somebody is going to remind me that I said this from the front at some point, I know. But I think sports are a tool that's meant to serve a bigger purpose, and that is the kind of people that we become and the life lessons that we learn. And it's a really good thing, but at some point, it stops serving us, and it gets so big that our whole schedule is serving it. Again, it's not a desire for bad things that get in the way. It's just other things, and it's crowded. But then we get to the good soil. So Mark 4, verse 20. others like seed sown on good soil. Hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. I think it's important to notice here the multiplication, the fruit that is being born is from the word that's planted. It's not the soil and all of its effort and good intentions. It is the word that's planted that multiplies, and that's because it's living. It is the revelation of God. It is the word of God. It is Jesus himself that multiplies. More of him. There's a passage I've been sitting with for a couple weeks now. It's in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11. It says, as the rain and snow came down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It's the word that will do it. It is Jesus in us, the secret of the kingdom. Like, I was just reading that in the commentary, it pointed out that an average grain of wheat, which is likely the crop that we were talking about in this parable, the average grain of wheat at that time, a head would have 7.5 or so seeds on it. So the reason it is 30 and 60 and 100 times that is the blessing of the Lord. It's his presence in us. It's extravagant. So you might be reading this thinking like, well, what about all the other people? What about all the other soils? But if it were one-to-one and just average seed, it would be less. Only 1/4 of the soil received his word, but then it multiplied to bigger than it would have been otherwise. So again, if you're not in this, I'm not intending for you to feel ashamed about it. This is hard to read. I am not an expert. I try to read it every day. I fail a lot. But we need this. This is where the special revelation of God comes from too. The messages that we take in that are happening all of the time. If this is in you, it's the grid for what's true and what's good. It's the thing that fills you and satisfies you. It's the reason that even though I wanted to be a professional basketball player for way too late in my life, I should have picked up on the fact that I'm not going to be over 6 foot a long time ago. There is nothing that gives me more joy than hearing the people of God worship. That's not just like a natural desire that I had. And I get to be up here and do this just back there is nothing that moves me more than hearing the people of God give him glory. That's why I would invite you to sing and lift your voice. There is something about it that is heavenly, literally. There are desires and things that I want. Like, I don't know where I would be without this. Because we all know like the intrusive thoughts that we have and the things that we wanted before Christ and things we chased after. I don't know where I would be if this didn't start rewiring my heart and growing fruit. It's changing my desires. And then another way to see the multiplication is 2,000 some years ago, there was one man named Jesus and he had about 12 guys and a small following. And now, 2,000 years later, there's probably 330. Kate, do you have the number? 361. Wow, good job, guys. 361. And on the other side of the world, 2,000 years later, among dozens of other beautiful churches here in Knoxville and in our region, among 2.6 billion people all over the world who claim to follow Christ. There is no other name Think about the millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people gathered this day for one reason. That's how the kingdom works. This is so that billions would be saved. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'm just going to read a couple passages and just simple gospel. We're going to let the word, the secret of the kingdom come, and we're just going to receive it. So I want to read Titus 3, verses 3 through 7. It says, "At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life." John 3:16 through 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Let's pray. Would you, as we pray, would you be willing to hold your hands out in front of you? It's a way to, we're taking a physical posture that helps us take a spiritual posture. We're being receptive. Father, I thank you that you have given us your Son, your living word. Lord, would you make our hearts like good soil? We can't get it unless you help us, God. Lord, if there's ways that we have neglected your word, please have mercy on us. If there's ways that we have been irreverent about your holy presence, please forgive us. Would you come and convict us this morning that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and that you raised him to new life by the power of your Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we might in our hearts die to our old ways and come alive in Christ and have eternal hope and bear fruit that multiplies supernaturally in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. You saved us from a fruitless, purposeless life. You are so good. I think there's two invitations. One is if you've just not been getting in the Word, or you don't know how to read the Bible, and so you just kind of gave up on it. First invitation is, I want to open up my Bible tomorrow morning, or I'm going to open it up tomorrow night before I go to bed. If that's a word that he's giving you right now, will you receive it? And there's a second invitation that you just never received Jesus. You didn't know that he wanted to really live in your own heart. Here's your chance to accept him, to receive him. It's Christ in us. It's the hope of glory. The secret of the kingdom that Jesus himself wanted to come live in your heart and do things that will last, do things that will bear fruit forever. So Jesus, come. We we receive your word. Make us a people who receive your word. Let our hearts and let this church be like good soil where your word is planted, where our roots go deep down in you, and where there is a multiplication that many will come to know you and hear the word themselves. In Jesus' name, amen.